It's great to be with you this morning. Honestly, this is the first time that I've preached since June. Part of that is, as some of you know, I had an unexpected event that took place in August. And then one of those things you don't anticipate, but had bypass surgery in August. And so I kind of, everybody kind of gave me a little bit of leeway and a little bit of time of rest. And so really this opportunity is the first time that I guess I'm starting out 2023, you know, looking forward to, you know, we all have, you know, I don't know if you, some of the things that happened in 2023 that were kind of those unexpected things like took place in my life. We all have those things. We're getting ready for the new year. Y'all ready for 2023? I'm ringing out. There's some things that I'm anticipating for the new year. In September 1st of this year, we're celebrating 50 years of marriage to my wife. So we've been together, we were talking about that, 50 Christmases. And Linda's parents, you know, we're thankful for each day. Her mom just turned 90, but they will be celebrating in October. Is it October? 75 years. My goodness. That's a long time, isn't it? But, you know, God has plans for us, and we just have to be ready. And to think about that, I wanted to touch on the biblical topic of humility this morning, because it's so important to our lives as believers. And I know that all of us at one time or another, you live long enough, you've had those experiences that have humbled you, right? And my family knows of one particular experience, because my son-in-law, Kobe, reenacted it. He acted my part. My son, Jason, acted his part. But it was a time I was going to teach Jason a lesson because, you know, I had my act together and he didn't. He was a teenager and I was an adult. And so he had a problem with speeding. And so I was going to teach him a lesson about speeding. If I ever caught him speeding, he was going to pay me $50. But I had to make this kind of even because, you know, it's not fair if it's just one-sided. So I said, you know, if you catch me speeding, I'll pay you $50. So I knew the way it was going to work out. I was going to catch Jason. Well, the problem was, is Jason rode more with me than I rode with him. So there were a couple times we were out in neighborhoods and stuff, you know, when the speed limit's 20 miles per hour, and that's kind of hard, you know. So when it came down to it, Jason caught me speeding twice. So I had to pay my son, Jason, $100. So after $100, I said, this is over with. There's not going to be any more. But I realized out of that experience that I was just as much a sinner as my son was when it came to obeying the traffic laws. And it was a very humbling experience because I didn't have my act together as well as I thought I did. But you know, humility is a valuable virtue for our lives. And we're going to be looking this morning at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 9, if you want to turn over there in your Bibles. Because I think there's, at least in my life, I know there's still God's, I'm a work in progress. Even at 70 years old, I'm still a work in progress. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, Peter is challenging the church, he's challenging believers. First of all, he was in that chapter, he was talking to the elders and encouraging the leadership of the church in the kind of leadership that they should provide as shepherds. But then he moves on in this passage, challenging not only the leadership of the church, but also the entire church, because humility is really so vital to the core effort of the church and what we're about as a church and what you're about, not only in the church, but in your families, in any other kind of relational activity that you're involved with. Humility is a vital component for our lives. So let's look at this passage of scriptures this morning again, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. Peter writes, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." When we examine these passages this morning, the first thing we see is there's this foundational command. Peter first addresses the younger men. He says, be subject to the elder. Now, the phrase be subject, it literally means, it's a military term, it means to line up under. It means that the members of the church, especially the younger men of the church, were to line themselves under the leadership of the church, and that required humility on their part to come under the shepherd's guidance and care. Those words were especially needed in that day because humility was not one of those qualities that was elevated to like, yeah, we need to be humble, because that was an element for slaves and for people who were servants, not for people. It was back then, it was a characteristic of weakness, of cowardice. Humility and submission was only tolerated by the slave and servant population of the time. So this was a challenge for the younger men in the church. You know, sometimes when you're young and that older generation, it could be your parents, it could be leadership in the church, we want to say, how dare you tell me what to do? You know, I can remember my dad, you know, getting into it with my father about various things, and I was at that point in my life where I was smarter than my dad. You know, I knew more than he did. But as it came down to it, the older I got, the realization my dad was pretty wise. And so oftentimes I had to go through the school of hard knocks because I didn't listen to my dad. And so what Peter's talking about here is there's this tug of war between the older generation and the younger generation. Instead of appreciating one another, sometimes there's this element of resistance. And so Peter's encouraging the church to be together, to put aside self-promoting pride, and to humble themselves before the Lord, to bring the church together to carry out what God has called them to do. And so Peter's answer to this relational tug of war is to clothe yourself, he says in the scriptures, is to clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. Now, the phrase clothe yourselves literally means to tie something around oneself, like an apron, a work apron, and basically to cover themselves with the attitude of humility. It's a desire and willingness to do whatever it takes to be about ministry. You see, the church, this church, or any church, for us to be able to carry out the mission of the church and to be the church that God's called us to be, there has to be that element that, hey, I'm willing to do whatever God's called us to do together. I'm willing to do what God has called, even the lowliest position, even that which maybe I would not feel comfortable normally in doing. I'm willing to do that for the sake of the gospel. And as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's this desire to do whatever God has called us to do. That's really the challenge that we find in scriptures. Paul challenges the church in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. If you can't turn over there in that passage of scripture, because it is so vital to what we're talking about today as far as authentic faith. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, Paul challenges the church. He says, "So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and in one mind." He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. You see, that's the attitude that we are to have as believers, to have a spirit of humility, just as the Savior did, the one that we follow, and his example to us is to die to ourselves and to live to fulfill his purposes on earth. See, I think this is what the world is dying to see, the attitude in the church. So often people say, well, I look at the church and I see division. I see an attitude of me first. And yet that's not to be the attitude of the church. We are to serve one another. We are to be the example of the Christ life when we come together as a community of believers. In John chapter 13, verses 12 through 15, Jesus was one who'd give an example of what it means to be a servant. And the disciples were there and they were taking a meal together. It was right before Jesus was going to go through the experience of suffering and his crucifixion. And he got down on his knees and he washed the disciples' feet, the dirty, smelly feet of the disciples. And got, this is what happened. It was God got on his knees, knelt down, and washed the feet of his disciples. Isn't that amazing that God was willing to do that? And then Jesus says this after he did that. He says, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am so. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. This whole example of Jesus getting on his knees is the core aspect of what it means to be the church. Because humility is kind of like the lubrication for the mechanism of the church of carrying out ministry. We need that humility within the church to be able to carry out and function to be what God's called us to be. But not only is it the lubricant, it is also the super glue that holds us together, the community that binds us together, because we're serving one another, we're loving one another, and it brings us together as we encourage one another in service to the Lord, in humble service to one another. It's our corporate identity. But something else we see in these verses, the importance of trusting our gracious God. Note Peter's challenge in verses 6 and 7. It says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Peter says, humble yourselves. Now, I guess a person could make that into a t-shirt and put that on, or a bumper sticker or something. You could make it into kind of a cutesy saying, but it's really not cute. To really life out the words humble yourselves is like to be dropping yourself into enemy territory. Except the greatest enemy in this battle is our own personal hearts, because we fight at this attitude of humility. And God's not willing to leave anything untouched in our heart and life to be able to serve him and to look more like Christ in our life. And so there's this battle, that this spiritual battle that's going to take place in our life, in our relationship. It's a challenging spiritual battle. And really, this is a battle that's very ancient, because you remember that there was a battle that took place in heaven when Satan desired to dethrone God. And in Isaiah chapter 14, we find this. And we read, it says in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 through 15, it says, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. Satan was cast down out of heaven because of the poisonous sin of pride. But he brought it with us to earth. You see that in Eve when she took the forbidden fruit. She had this idea, well, I want to be like God. And so she took the fruit and ate of it and gave it to Adam. And it's the same pride that's going on in our world today. You know, you look at the wars that are going on right now. What's at the essence of that? And why aren't they ending? It's because of pride. Pride kills relationship. It destroys marriages, families. It divides churches. It divides nations. Pride is at work in our world today, and it's the poison of pride that Satan has brought to earth. Humble yourselves is a battle cry. It's a spiritual battle cry in our hearts, in our lives. Even as I consider these words, I think about my own life. You know, there's things that I think are so great, and times when I want to minister to people, even in my relationship with my wife. We're at the point in our life that sometimes our hearing isn't what it used to be. And so there's things that we say and there's things that we do that sometimes we get our wires crossed. And sometimes I have such good intentions, and, you know, sometimes when that happens, when we get our wires crossed, that we get our feelings hurt. And sometimes in the midst of that, I said, you know, how could you say that to me? Or how could you do that, you know? Don't you know my heart? I'm not like that, you know, and I want to justify myself, and I want to say things. And it's hard, because in the midst of that, you know, my good intentions, I want to make excuses for myself. And so, but I see in those times like that, that I have an attitude of pride in my actions. And so sometimes I know that God needs to continue to work in my heart. Humble yourselves is to engage in a spiritual battle. And you know what? We can't win it on ourselves. We need the Lord. That's why Peter encourages us. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time that he may exalt you. See, this whole thing of humility is a work of God in life. We can't do it ourselves. We can't do it on our own. And the words, the mighty hand of God, takes us back and where God was leading the Hebrew people towards the promised land. And if you remember, as God was leading the Hebrew people through the promised land, what did he do? He parted the Red Sea with his mighty hand. He brought forth water from the rock with his mighty hand. He provided bread from heaven with his mighty hand. And over, he broke down walls and defeated large armies by his mighty hand. God is at work in us as we are engaged in this battle in our hearts and in our relationships. We can only find victory as we are led by the Holy Spirit of God, as we submit to the work of God in our hearts. As we humbly seek to serve the Lord, Peter encourages us, and this is an important aspect of this, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Now, what is the definition of all anyway? What is it? What does all mean? It means all. It says, cast all your anxieties on the Lord because he cares for you. Casting means throwing it upon the Lord. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I don't want to bother God with, well, I'll just give him maybe the big stuff and keep the small stuff for myself. But that's not what the scripture's saying. It says that we are to cast all our anxieties, all of our worries upon the Lord because what? He cares for us. The living God that has created all the universe cares for us. Giving into worry and anxiety is really, it's an example of pride. Pride says that I'm the only God that can handle this problem. I'll take it, God. I've got it. And yet we don't. I love the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, because it reminds me of a great biblical reality. The hymn goes like this: What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry, what is that word? Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So think about that battle. As we think about the battle, Peter gives a serious warning here in verse 8. He says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. We have a formidable enemy. Sometimes we don't get this aspect that there is this battle that's taking place, and we do have an enemy, and it's Satan. Satan is real. There are forces of evil. And he's after your life, your faith, your witness, your family. So we have to be watchful. We need to be alert because he is real. Satan is likened to a lion prowling around seeking someone to devour. Now, devour is not an easy word. It's not like, well, you know, Satan's going to just nibble at you and stuff. No, he wants to devour you. He wants to destroy you. When I was a kid, I loved when my mom made cakes. And I love when she put my favorite icing on there. And I was that kid that would sneak into the kitchen and I would take my finger around the bottom of the cake that's in the plate and take the icing off around it. It's kind of gross. But that was me. But I thought I could get away with it, you know, just kind of going around the edges. Well, you know what? Satan doesn't go around the edges. He wants the whole cake. He wants your life. He wants your family. And he wants to destroy us. He doesn't want to wound us. He wants to destroy us. And so we have to take seriously the enemy. And we must do all that we can to prepare ourselves for battle. I remember one time hiking with my older son, Doug, in Alaska. And we were hiking in this beautiful mountainous area. And most of the areas in Alaska, you got to be concerned about bears. So we're hiking, you know, and the sun's shining brightly, and I pull out of my backpack my sunscreen and start putting my sunscreen all over because I don't want to get burned. Well, later on, and you have to understand Doug, you know, my family understands Doug. He just finds humor in things that sometimes you think about it. That's not too funny. So he says, Dad, you know, when you were putting that scented sunscreen on, you know what you're doing? You're just marinating yourself for a bear. Rubbing it on, you know, marinating yourself, getting ready for the bear attack, you know. And I think about that. I think, you know, there's a sign that we really don't take Satan seriously, our adversary seriously, is the fact that we don't actively engage in watching what we put into our lives. And in fact, by what we bring into our lives, basically softening up our lives, marinating ourselves for the attack of Satan. When I was going through, I just finished my cardiac rehab physical therapy. And one of the classes that we had, because we'd have classes along with exercise, and there was a class on mindless eating. You know what mindless eating is? It's like, we know what it is. It's like, you know, you go sit down at the TV, you got all your snacks around you, and it probably happened last night. And you start shoveling it in, you know, and you're not even thinking about it. You're watching this show, and you don't realize you just polished off a half a pizza and dip and chips and all that, and just sticking it in and going, that's mindless eating. And I'm not preaching to you about mindless eating because I've been guilty of mindless eating over and over. I even do it at restaurants. Mindless eating. When it comes to preparing ourselves for battle, this is not about mindless eating. We need to be thinking about that which we're putting into our lives because it does affect us. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verses 13 through 14, he says, "Let us walk properly as in daytime, not in jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." And that last portion of that scripture we need to pay attention to. It says, make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. I think sometimes we almost plan to gratify the flesh, to do what we want to, irregardless of what we know the God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to us in our lives. And so we need to be thinking about that. We don't need to be a part of mindless eating, but we need to prepare ourselves for battle. But not only do we do that with the things that maybe we allow into our lives. I mean, there's so many great things as believers that we can put into our lives. Worship is one of those. One of the great songs that we sang today is that we can hide those things into our heart. But there's other things. You know, God tells us various things in scriptures about anger and resentment and unforgiveness and jealousy and envy. And so how are we dealing with those things? I don't know how often Christians have said to me, I cannot forgive this person, or I will not forgive this person. Do you know that has an effect on our lives? In a sense, we're marinating ourselves because we've left the door open for Satan to enter into our heart and into our lives. Paul challenges us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 through 27. He says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger." And in the same breath, he says this, "And give no opportunity to the devil." So by not dealing with stuff, we're giving a foothold to the devil. We're basically setting up a beachhead for Satan to attack us by not dealing with things in our life that we need to deal with, that the Bible specifically tells we need to deal with. So we're engaged in a battle. Prepare yourselves for battle. Be ready for what God wants to do in your life. But then I want to close with a word of encouragement, and it's verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter says, "Resist him," talking about Satan, "resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." You look out at the world today. It's pretty crazy, isn't it? The stuff that's going on in our world and the struggles, and maybe even in your own life, you're facing some very difficult things in your lives, some struggles in your lives. And you say, "Man, I don't know. This year, I don't know if I'm anticipating the things that I'm going to have to face in my life." How are you handling it? How are you handling things in your marriage and in school, at work, and other relationships? How are you handling it? Do you want to check out? You want to say, "You know, I'd just rather cover my head with my blankets and just not go out because it's just too overwhelming." And it seems that things we were facing seem too big, too impossible. But Peter says that we're to engage ourselves in the battle. He says nothing is too overwhelming, too big, too impossible, because he says we need to be firm in our faith. Firm in our faith. What makes faith so firm anyway? What makes our faith firm is the fact that we have a great God. The God who created everything is on our side. The God who created everything cares for us. The God that we care about has a desire to work in us and through us, through His Holy Spirit. This is not just about us. It's about our relationship with the Lord that must be the priority of our life. Make Christ the center of your life. Make Jesus the center of life. And understand this too. As Peter says in this passage of Scripture, he says that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. We are not all going through the same things. I'm not going through the same things as you. But there's a commonality that we are all engaged in a battle, and that we need to encourage one another, We need to pray, and they're going to be sharing stories about the struggles that are being faced in the relationships they have there. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul encourages Christians to engage in battle. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and put on the whole armor of God that enable to stand against the schemes of the devil. This is not a battle we fight alone. It's a battle we fight with the help of the Lord, that we are to put on God's armor. We're to stand with God against the schemes of the devil. So where are you at today in your relationship? Are you ready? Are you have great expectations for 2023 and what God can do in your life? God's not going to leave anything untouched. You want God to be the center of your heart and life and want to really be dying to yourself and living for God. There's going to be some battles you're going to face. But as you face those things and as you work through things through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to see the changes that God brings in your life. And I encourage you to encourage other believers. Encourage your family members. Pray together as husbands and wives and encourage one another as you seek to be about what God wants to do. Our foundation is rooted in Christ and our relationship to Him. There's encouragement for us that God wants to do great things because of His grace. He is at work in us. I know there's anxiety as we face difficulties and things that seem too hard and too big, but God will touch our lives He'll tear down our God replacements and our walls of protection, our way of living life, our way, and He will be able to sustain us and to help us. Let's pray together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have the opportunity to continue to worship You, Lord, as we anticipate this new year, God, I just pray for Your church, for Your believers, for those that are here, even here today, God, that that God, they just might be able to open up their hearts and their lives to the desire, what You desire to do in their hearts and life today and in this year. God, I'm thankful, God, for Your provision, for Your help, for Your encouragement, Lord, for the strength that You give us. And Lord, I pray that we might be conscious of all that is that You present before our lives. And Lord, the things that You're showing us in our relationship, that God, that we might honor You, that we might have a spirit of humility, and God, there might be a willingness of our heart to be an active part in serving You in whatever You called us to do. Just Lord, we give our life to You as we seek to serve You and to honor You. And Lord, I just pray this in Jesus' name, amen.